Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Thank you, Charles. Wow, the whole sermon, the whole message has been done. We did it. You know, it's been done. We sang it. We prayed it. We walked it out in the room today. God told me, sitting right there, he says, just be quiet. He said, you know, it's all been done. But I did want to talk about a couple things today. I'm going to shorten it down way, way short. And I just hope that some of it touches you. I want to thank the rest of people who have come to me over the past 2 weeks and said, God, that was right for me. Because, you know, when you stand up, and I know everybody that has a message and that God gives them the time to speak that message, a lot of the times, and Charlie says, I say, it's for me. Because this is coming from something that I experienced, and the Lord has changed my life by experiencing these things. So most of the messages that we get and that we preach are for us. But when it touches one other person, just like we were talking about this morning, Jesus, they left the 99 and went after the one. So if that one person can pick up something in there and say, oh my gosh, I've never thought about that before, and I'm going to go read that scripture, or I'm going to go look at that, or I'm going to examine my life. I'm going to take a good look at what's going on in my family. I'm going to take a look at what's going on in me that is causing some of these things that might be going on in my family. It makes a difference. And that's where that healing starts. We start to heal. We start to heal as individuals. We start to heal as a body of Christ because our families are healing. We've talked about today, it's transforming flawed family dynamics, which is a nice way of saying dysfunctional families, into dynamic families. We want to have a dynamic family. Pastor Charlie just said it. You know, Christ wants us to be a dynamic family. He designed it to be a dynamic family. He designed this church, all church, the Big C, to be a dynamic family and to function as a dynamic family. Well, how did we get so dysfunctional? We covered a couple things over the past 2 weeks. One was, Debbie brought it up again, the mindset of fear, that spirit of fear that stops us, that disables us, that keeps us from doing the things that God's calling us to do. And then we take on that false identity of fear. We talked about that in the first week. Last week we talked about the two spirits of control and pride that go together, that usually run our families right now, that sometimes destroys this type of family because we can't get it right in our own families, which leads to all kinds of other dysfunctions that happen within our families. We talked about codependency. We talked about addictions. There's many, 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 many more. You know, there's all types of other things. There's domestic violence. There's so many things that, you know, that are rampant in our society that's out here, our culture, that, you know, we don't even have a second thought about. Poverty, you know, homelessness. Thank God for David and them. They work with the homeless. You know, children going to school hungry. I can't even fathom that children are going to school hungry. The only place they eat during the day is at school. That's the only food they get. We talked about this the other day, about kids coming to school, you know, and for, that may be the only thing they eat. And they take stuff home because that's what they have to eat. That's a whole nother subject. So we talked about those different types of mindsets. Today, I just want to talk briefly about another type of mindset. We said it just a couple minutes ago. Do we operate as a church, as Identity Church? Do we operate in that renewed mindset? And what I mean by that is that it's a mindset our minds set on what the Spirit desires. We did it just a little while ago. The Spirit took over in this room, and it desired us to have a certain amount of prayer, a certain amount of coming to Him, a certain amount of being humble and admitting, a certain amount of just being with Him, being accessible, being open to what the Spirit does, what the Spirit moves. And in Romans 8:5, it says this, it says, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit, that means together with the Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Okay? So, again, I'm going to read out of the message, Romans 12:2. I'm going to read it again. I took some liberties, so just kind of follow me on here. It says, don't become so well adjusted to the world views, culture, identity, church, that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, identity, church, fix your eyes on God and the Holy Spirit. You'll be changed from the inside out. Everything that's going to change in here is going to go out. We're talking about going out. Readily recognize what God wants from you, Identity Church, and quickly respond to it. We responded today. We responded to the Holy Spirit moving in this room. Unlike the world views culture around you, it always wants to drag you down to a level of immaturity. So there's that thinking, that mindset. Could be fear, could be control, could be pride. God wants only the best for us, and He wants to have a well-formed mindset in our identity, so that as a body, we have a well-formed mindset as Identity Church. So our identities, when we have a well-developed, well-formed mindset, and we know who we are in our own identity, and we all come together, whoa, how powerful is that? Just think about what God can do, what God will do. Because He's not going to use us dysfunctionally. I mean, He can, but He's only going to use us in pieces, parts. But as we are well developed, and we know our identity, and we find our identity, and we work within our identity, what's going to happen? I'm going to kind of blow through this because some of the stuff I don't think we need to cover. We covered a lot right now. Okay, so I got a question for you today, you know. Say again. I'm being obedient. Yeah, my mind is set on what the Spirit desires. He's telling me skip page 1, 2, 3. You don't need to read all that. Just go. So today I wanted to talk to you just a little bit. And I think I've talked about this before, maybe one time at a Oxpen. I don't remember. But about character. You know, what is our character? What does it look like? What does Jesus' character look like? You know, I just praise God and I give God the glory for the character that He's instilling in me, because He's always changing my character. He's always grabbing me by the back of the collar and goes, slow down, boy. I got something to change in you. Did you hear what you just said? Did you hear what you just thought? I know you did. He goes, I knew it before you even thought it. Back up. Let's talk about this. So He's renewing my character daily. And He's renewing and developing the character of the body because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, as revealed through the Word of God. So that's where we get our identity. We get it through the Word of God. So, as an individual, are you just digesting the Word of God as a self-feeder? I mean, are you able to take, and do you have a set pattern of studying the Word of God? Do you read it every day or every other day? Do you plan a time to just have that time, just like what we were talking about, with just you and God, you and the Word, and having those things revealed to you? Having those things developed within you about what that Word is saying to you? I hope so. Or we still want to be a spoon-fed person. Oh, I'm just going to wait till the pastor or the preacher gets up there and tells me what I need to know. And then I'll look it up and say, oh, okay, that looks good. Or are you a picky eater? You know, picky eaters, they will just take one line. Anybody know any picky eaters? And they'll just burn it up to death. They will beat you to death with it. And you go, gosh, did you even read what's in front of that? Or did you even read what is behind that? You know, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe in that part. I don't. The bashing, you know, like, you know, I've been guilty of it, you know. So,
I'm the chief of all.
Chief of all. No, you can't be, because I'm the chief of all. But what I'm saying is, okay, where's our mindset there? You know, so the only way that we can stop being picky about what we read or what we eat as we digest the word, or have somebody else feed it to us and just go, okay, yeah, I got that. You know, that fits me, or maybe it doesn't fit me, or that's not for me. You know, we adapt to that culture. You know, we can't be so adaptive to that culture that we just allow that to happen. So we have to develop a character that we know a couple things about ourselves from our character. You know, who we are from the inside out. What's the Word of God doing in us that's showing our character on the outside? Okay, what we do when no one else is looking. You know, that's the biggest one for me. You know, come back here. Did you really just think that? You know, okay, yeah. All right, I'll respond. Okay, how we respond under pressure when we're going through trials and struggles that we don't want to go through, but how do we respond? Do we react or do we respond? And then how's our love walk look? That's big. That's important. So what I believe that our character in Christ is developed by influences made by our choices and our mindsets. So character in the individual believer is consistent. It's consistent manifestation of what Christ is doing alive in them. But it's consistent. The more we imitate him, the more we resemble him. So if I just say, oh, Christ is in me, I don't like you. I just don't like the way you look. You're looking at me funny. Why don't you leave? I got something I want to say to you, but Christ is in me. You know, we have to resemble him. We have to imitate him, and then we'll resemble him. So John 5:19, Jesus says, I'm about the Father's business. He knew his identity. He knew who he was. So some character traits of Jesus I want to talk about real quickly. I'm going to go through them. He was very competent. You agree with that? What is competence? I think it means to be endowed with, to be well equipped with, and being capable of doing what you need to do, what you've been called to do. See, God will equip us when he calls us. Jesus was well equipped. Jesus was capable of doing what God, you know, the Father asked him to do. He only did what the Father asked him to do. Okay? So a firm understanding of what your God-given abilities are, your talents are, and your spiritual gifts, and the knowledge of what to do with those particular abilities, talents, and spiritual gifts. As God directs the fivefold ministry and makes us more competent on how to use those, we become functioning better as a body, also as individuals. So by operating in the scope of our abilities, our spiritual gifts, and our talents, we observe, other people observe the living Christ working through us, individually and as a body. So my question is, are you aware of your spiritual gifts? One person is. Oh, two. There we go. Three. Okay. So what about your talents and your abilities? There we go. Okay, so we have some there. Good. So they're not all the same. They're not the same, right? Our talents are not the same. Our abilities are not the same. And our spiritual gifts are definitely usually not the same. We may have the same gift, but we don't operate the same way in those gifts. Okay, so talent is a natural aptitude or a skill. It's just natural. 12 years old, I picked up my first guitar, and I just learned how to play by ear. I learned how to play keyboard by ear. I learned how to play, you know, drums just by feeling it. It just happened. Okay, I was able to write music without ever studying it. So they were just natural abilities that happened. An ability is to be able to use that talent or skill proficiently. Means that you know what you're doing with it. You're competent with it. You have it. It's a natural ability. It's a natural talent. But now you're proficient in using it, and that brings back that ability. Right? Okay. All right. So if we talk about spiritual gifts, spiritual gifts are given to God's people by the Holy Spirit for the common good of the body. Verse 11 tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 is that they were given by God as He determined for each of us to have. Ephesians tells us that these gifts were given to prepare God's people for service, for building up the body of Christ. So those things, all three of those things together, helps us to function with a competence, ability to do God's work. So you can look up all, if you're not sure what spiritual gifts you have, and usually we have a mix, and I'm talking to people in here who operate in spiritual gifts. But if you're not sure what your gift mix is, you know, there's a lot of good spiritual gift tests you can take. See, Peter Wagner has some. I mean, it might not be a bad idea one time to do a little survey on that and go, whoa! Yeah, I mean, you and that's a good word. That's a good word. We do mature because as we developed, we pick up different spiritual gifts and we operate in them. Okay, so by operating effectively within that mix, we are operating effectively as the body of Christ. And that becomes the big C, the church. Some of the gifts, wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, leadership, helpers, organization, prayer intercessors, givers, craftsmen. We can go on and on. Hospitality, encouragement, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostleship, prophecy, teaching, pastoring, evangelism. Sometimes, I mean, I've counted them before, got 20, then got 23, then got 25, because the more you look, you go, oh, that's a gift, and I really never even thought about that particular gift before. You know, God reveals that. But when you search God's Word, you're going to find them in there. They're not all just listed, you know, one time. They're in different places, and you take a look, and there's a list of scriptures I have. If you ever want to take a look at those, you can. So how do others observe our spiritual gifts and talent and ability mixed working as the body of Christ? Somebody walks through that door. How do they see it? What do they see going on with us? Okay? Second thing I want to talk about is confidence. Confidence is the faith or belief that one will act in a right or proper and effective way. That's kind of self-explanatory. So we know we have spiritual gifts. We know we have talents. We know we have abilities. So what is your ministry passion? How does that play into it? What is a ministry passion? Have you ever heard that before? Okay, ministry passion. Here's a sample of a ministry passion list. Working with those who are facing abortions, abused women, addictions and recovery, AIDS, animals, beauty and order, building esteem, career women, child care, and the list goes on and on and on. Literacy, illiteracy, justice, immature believers, hunger, homelessness, prisoners, racism, refugees, single parents, parents with problems, violence, domestic violence, teen moms. Where does your gift mix take you to work within your ministry passion? See, passion without action is just a dream. You just think it. You're just thinking about it, okay? Action without passion passes the time. Oh, I don't have anything to do. I guess I'll take my spiritual gifts, go down, feed the homeless. I really don't want to go down there, but, you know, I think I'll just go because everybody else is going. Passion with action changes the world. So how does our gift mix, talent mix, change the world? You know, Jesus was passionate about his purpose in this life. He was passionate about that. He was very confident because he knew who he was. John 5:36, he says, I have a testimony that's heavier and more weightier than that of John the Baptist. He goes, for the work that the Father has given me to finish, which I'm doing right now, testifies that my Father has sent me. How much more confidence do you need than that? So that confidence comes from this. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:4, for us, that our confidence needs to come through Christ. That's where we get our confidence, through our spiritual gifts, our talents, our abilities, our gift mix, and the passion about ministry. What is our passion as working in ministry? Oh, let me just jump at this because this bothers me. I'm going to rabbit hole here. I do not like the words, and I don't know how you guys feel about it. My ministry. I don't know if that person's going to be good in my ministry. I don't know if that person fit or work in my ministry. Those two words just make me want to just, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they just said. And it makes me want to just grab them by the back and jack them back. Boy, did you hear what you just said or thought? You know, I don't know if that person wants to work in my ministry. There is only one ministry, and it's the ministry of reconciliation. And that's the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are those who are equipped with abilities, spiritual gifts, and talents to have a passion about that ministry and work with it in specific areas. So we don't own anything. We own nothing. It's Jesus' ministry. We work for him with what he, the Holy Spirit, has empowered us to have to do that work. Remember when he said, you know, we're going to do better work and more work than he'll ever have been able to do? That's what he's talking about. We have those passions, each as individuals and as the church, to do those things right now. Passion with action can change the world. We have the power to change the world. Very, very, very interesting. So, I'm surprised that nobody's ever heard that before about ministry passion. You know, so, you know, I'm very passionate about several types of ministries to work with. I did prison ministry for many, many years. We work in the addiction recovery ministry. That's big. Children's ministry. We did that for many, many, many years. It evolves. As your spiritual gift mix changes, it evolves. Okay? Connection. To establish a relationship between, or in this context, to be engaged with other people. Jesus was the most people person ever in history. He loved people. He was also the greatest psychologist that was ever alive in history. He connected with people regardless of their nationality, their race, color, background, culture, position, profession, religious system, trade, age, whether they were wealthy, poor, broken, intolerable, convicted, the addicted, the afflicted. He was the greatest motivational interviewer that there ever was. He could find out more about you just by you telling him. And he would only ask the question, well, what do you say? That's what you say. And you just tell him everything. You know? And people get paid for that today. Some people get paid for that. And they get paid good. Anyway, he allowed people to answer their own questions. The woman at the well. The disciples about feeding the 5,000. The man at the pool. The disciples after many had deserted him. The stoning of the adulteress. The grave at Lazarus. You know, the Pharisees constantly. That's what you say. That's what you say. So Jesus invested in people's lives. Are we invested into people's lives? Are we invested into each other's lives within the body of Christ, using our spiritual gifts, our talents, and our abilities? The the ministry of reconciliation. This is how much God loved our world, that he gave Jesus, his only son. And this is why, so that no one would ever be destroyed. So that by believing in him, anyone would and could have an everlasting life. God didn't go, we always read John 3:16, but we never finish the next piece of it. It says, God didn't go to all this trouble, sending his only son, merely to point an accusing finger at us, telling us how bad we are. He sent his son to help, to put the world right again. There it is, the ministry of reconciliation, to put the world right again. So what are we doing as the body? Are we helping to put the world right again? That's our call. No matter what we're doing, that is our call. And compassion. Compassion is a genuine, sympathetic consciousness of another person's distress and the desire to help alleviate that distress. Difference between compassion and empathy. But Jesus was compassionate. He had compassion on anybody who was in a distressful situation. Compassion means simply this, that we love no matter what. We love in all instances. Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said in Matthew 15:32, I feel compassion for these people because they have remained with me for 3 days hungry, and now I know they have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry because they might faint or have other problems. Simple as that. They might faint. He was compassionate about that. They spent time with him. They might faint. Let's feed them. And what do the disciples do? Well, there's 5,000 of them. I don't know how we're going to do that. I don't like that guy over there. I don't really want to deal with him. You know, I don't want to do this, Lord. We don't have enough money. We don't have that. I'm pointing at that guy behind Ted. The one behind Ted.
Take it like a man, Ted.
Take it like a man, Ted. It's a good thing you're not on camera. We don't know what that is. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, instead of looking for solutions, they grumbled about the issue. Jesus was compassionate. So, you know, he knew what was going to happen. He cared about people. He helped people. He healed people because he is love. He loved us so much that he paid the ultimate price for us. Kathy, he paid the ultimate price for you on the cross. And me and Charlie and Susan paid the ultimate price for us. I can't think of any way to show any more love than that. When I think about being nailed to a cross, I think, oh, I don't like that guy back there. He's even thinking about that. And he forgave. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're talking about. Father, forgive them because they just walked by that hungry child right there. Christ is love, and our identity in Christ needs to project and resemble that love. So we too can learn how to have compassion, empathy, to be quick to love, to be quick to forgive. So when we make it about ourselves, it's not about reflecting his love. The more time that you spend with him and the more that you reflect his character, you'll spend time in the Word. You'll spend time praising. You'll spend time in worship. You'll spend more time praying. You'll spend more time forgiving others. You'll spend more time loving others. You'll spend more time serving others. You're going to grow and you're going to mature deeply in his love, and you're going to walk with those particular character traits that Jesus has given to us. You're going to use your spiritual gifts more. You're going to make your talents, hone them in so that they're going to become an ability and they're going to become something that you're proficient at. You're going to be proficient at your gift. You're going to become proficient in your talents. You're going to become proficient in your abilities to show the world who Christ is living in you. As we hone ourselves as a body, we're going to be able to be proficient on when somebody either walks in that door or when we go out there to show that world that, wow, Identity Church, they really know who they are in Christ. They are our, you know, they helped us. They came to me when nobody else would come. You know, they welcomed me in when I was hungry, when I was hurting, when I needed healing, when I needed prayer. They offered that to me, that love and that help and that compassion. So I'm just going to close up. When we operate in character, it produces something. It produces a remarkable identity in a person. A group of people with remarkable identities operating in the character of Christ produces a remarkable body of believers. A remarkable body of believers operating in that character of Christ produces a great church of identity. So, do we at Identity Church have what it takes, individually and corporately, to set our minds on what the Spirit desires at all times? Something to think about. And I believe that when we put ourselves in that position to put our mindset on what the Spirit desires at all times, it's going to be blessing people. People are going to come to Christ. Healing is going to happen. Miracles are going to happen. People's lives are going to change. Families that are dysfunctional are going to all of a sudden become functional and start operating. Addictions are going to be broken. Bondage is going to be broken. Just codependency is going to be broken. And by the way, codependency, I didn't even touch on that, but if you want to sit down and talk about codependency is the worst issue to have to deal with. I'd rather deal with an addict with five different addictions than with one codependent, because there's nothing wrong with them. It's everybody else's fault. They can't see it. Because I'm just saying that codependency, I would rather counsel somebody with five addictions and have them help them work through those things, have God work through their lives to repair that, than to sit and work with one codependent person. No. But we could talk about it anytime. But, you know, it's a hard thing to deal with because codependent... It might be. You know, codependency, and I don't want to get talking about it too much because, you know, we're talking about breaking these things. But codependency resembles, let me put it this way. People with codependency issues tend to see themselves like healthy Christians see themselves because they're giving away, they're helping somebody, they're acting in what they think is love, but it's not a healthy love. They believe that they're the savior. They believe that they're a martyr. They believe that they're giving up their whole life for this person to make this thing work, that they're covering up and not allowing other people to take responsibility for their actions, that they can't because they love them. And the problem with it is it just takes so much energy and so much time that they lost themselves completely. Codependency is called the disease of the lost, because they're the disease of the lost self, because there is no self. They are so selfless that they don't know how to be selfish. And being selfish is not a bad thing. It can have a bad context, but Jesus said, love others as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself and you have no self-worth, then how can you love another person? So it's all about the worth part. It's not about the esteem, it's about the worth. So one more thing we need to do to wrap this up, and I'm going to turn it over to Lisa. She's going to bring us a final word on this. She's going to tie it together for us.
Hopefully. Whoops. So as I've been praying this week, and Michael and I have been talking, and like, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I believe that the only thing he wants me to say today is to talk just for a minute about love. Because it all comes down to love. And we've talked a lot about love throughout this whole series. We've talked a lot about love. The love of Christ, number one, which there is no other love like. The love of ourselves, learning to heal. You know, understanding how God can heal us and change us. We have to be willing. We talked about that. And loving others, which Michael touched on quite a bit today. Reaching out, showing the love of Christ. And I know that everyone here is familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul talks about love and what love is. And I'm talking about the action kind of love. Okay? Woo! See? There's power on that. There was power on that. Woo! Love it, love it. That, yeah, that's action love right there. That's right. And what is what? We should just close out dancing, right? Enjoy. Amen. Just enjoy. Just God just said that to me. Just because, you know what? He gives us joy. Amen. Now I'm all thrown off, but it's okay. It's okay. So, what is love? Love is patient. Okay? Love is patient. Okay, I don't know about anybody else, but I struggle sometimes with that. I am not the most patient person. But you know what? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. This is from the New Living Translation, by the way. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Okay, all of you that are driving I-4, okay? Love is not rude, all right? You don't blow your horn at me and get right up on me and try to shove me off the road. Okay. People do... And you know what? I just go, okay, go ahead. Just go around me. It. It does not, okay, here's a big one right here. It does not demand its own way. Okay? So in our marriages, in our relationships, and in the church, it does not demand, it doesn't have to be my way. Okay? It doesn't. It's okay. You know, I can, even if I have my mind on something and all of a sudden it changes, that's okay because I'm not in charge, God is. Okay? It is not irritable. No, I mean, but if you really read this, okay? I read it in 3 different translations. When you really get deep in this, get in it deep and really read and really hear what it says. Because God, we're being told what love is and what it's not. It keeps no record of being wronged. No record. That means if I see somebody when I'm out and about that has hurt me, I don't keep a record. I don't walk on the other side of the store and hope they don't see me because I don't want to talk to them. And I have done that. I admit it. But you know what? Now I just, well, hi, how are you? You know, because we don't keep record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Praise God. Love is the answer to everything. I mean, everything we've talked about for the last 3 weeks comes down to it's about love. It's about the love of Christ. And when we reach out in the love of Christ, whether it be in our personal, first of all, to ourself, okay? Because if you have problems loving yourself, then you're, just like Michael said, you're not going to love others the way that God has called you to do. And that's something that's taken me a long time to understand and go through a lot of healing and different things, because I received a lot of messages growing up that did not line up with the Word of God. So I had to receive healing and understanding of who I am to really understand the love I have for myself because of God, because of how much He loves me. Amen? That's where it comes from. It's not because of all the things I can do or anything. It's because Christ loved me so much. He died for me. So how can I not love myself? Amen? And then loving each other, reaching out in love to each other, being forgiving, being kind, not putting myself first, saying, okay, God. You know, God and I have a lot of conversations all the time, all day long, because that's where it comes from. You know, Lord, I don't like that, and I don't like maybe something Michael just did, but help me to respond the right way. I go to Him. I don't try to do it on my own. I go to Him. Lord, help me. Help me to handle this. You know, somebody hurts me, I go right to Him. Help me to handle this, because otherwise I'm going to react instead of respond. As I said, biblical love is action, not emotion. It's not emotion. It's action. Okay, when we get into our emotions is sometimes where we get in trouble, right? But love is action. Love is showing Christ in everything that we do, everything that we do, everywhere that we go. That means work. Okay, we're not one way here and then we're another way at work. Or we're one way here and we're another way in the grocery store. Or we're one way here at church and we're another way in our neighborhood. We show, we are the same everywhere that we go, right? Because that's love in action. Jesus tells us in John 13, 34 and 35, so now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So when we love each other, it shows the world that we are His disciples. So as a body, when we show love to each other, we are showing the world His love. Amen? And that's all that it sounds so simple, and it really is, but is it always easy? No. It's not. It's not easy. And that's why we need Him. That's why we need Christ. Because it's not easy. But it is possible. It is what He calls us to do and calls us to be. Amen? But lean on Him. It's about Him. He does it. It's not about me. If I just operated totally on myself, which I did before I found Christ, and I can tell accepted Christ in my life, and I was a mess. Didn't think I was. You know, Michael talks about, I could talk a lot about codependency. Because, you know, you're showing this control that I've got it all together and you don't. But when we accept Christ, the amazing thing is, then we become humble, and we don't care if people don't know that we have it all together. Right? It doesn't matter anymore. Because it's not about me. Okay, so I'm going to, so a changed heart loves the 1 Corinthians 13 way. A changed heart. And where does a changed heart come from? Our relationship with Christ. So praise God, because we are new creations, we are changed, we are renewed, we are operating in love, and we are taking it out into our community. And I'm excited. with what happened today, what's happened over the weekend, I am so excited because you know what? Love is an action. Amen. Love is an action, and it's exciting to see it, and we're going to see a lot more of it. We are going to see a lot more of it, and I am so excited because who knows what's going to happen, and that's what's so exciting is God is, it's, we have no way of knowing what God is going to do because he's so amazing and so powerful and so awesome, and when we just give it all up and give it to him and let God be God, it's going to be an amazing journey. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.